Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Paddest Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope, and transformational guide. And I also have a wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is a women's empowerment coach. Visit her website, livefullylovefully.com, for inspiration and practical suggestions to live life to the fullest. Today, our topic is he, she is an pound sign, dollar sign, at sign, and sign, percentage sign, exclamation point. I'm just kidding, guys. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. And also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that are given away.
Gosh, you know, I mean, my ex, he's just such an asshole. He's just a narcissistic pig. I can't believe all of the stuff that he did. And, you know, our whole relationship was nothing but a complete lie. I mean, he lied from the beginning. And he doesn't care about anybody else in the entire world. You know, he is just such a user and abuser. And he truly is just an effing narcissistic pig. And I don't even know what I ever seen in him in the first place.
You know, let me tell you my version. My version is all I ever was, whatever I did was never enough. And if I didn't do something, it was even worse. All I ever heard about was put down. I never lived up to the standards or perceptions of what my ex thought I should be or do or have. No matter what I did, I could buy a brand new car, a brand new home, and it was never enough. All I ever heard from her was put down.
Well, could you say that possibly she was a nagging bitch?
Okay.
That's what
I'll
some guys say.
Yeah, okay. But no matter.
Okay,
no matter
you're
what,
so,
you
know? So funny. Okay. Anyways, welcome everybody to today's show. Remember, you can hop on the Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/yourtoxicrelationshipdance. You can sign up. We're pretty active on here. You can ask us questions, communicate with us. And during the show, if you have a question, we will answer it during the show if you post it on the Facebook page. Also, you can call in 713-955-0561, and then it, you know, whenever if you call in, you know, we should be able to let you ask your question online. And also, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio Show page, there's a chat box where you can chat with Al. And with that being said, our today is actually my ex is a fill in the blank. We have so many words to you to describe our exes, and we can go on and on. Pardon?
But you mean that dollar sign and sign and pound sign and exclamation point? You mean that's not real? I'm messing with you.
Nah. with you. Yeah, it's not real. I know you're messing with me, Al. Yeah, and all of those. Yeah, but we can, you know, whatever name you put in there, even if it's. And you may not even be talking about your ex, something that I hear a lot. And for some reason, this just seems to be really a woman-like to do this. My ex is dating a fat cow. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that term. And I just find it very interesting. But really and truly, what are you doing whenever you're just sitting there calling somebody names? And you have to check in with yourself. How good does it feel to yourself? How good do you feel whenever you're saying, my ex is a narcissistic pig? Because I doubt that anybody at all feels good when they say this. Because whenever you're sitting there putting somebody down and talking about somebody, it's just not a good feeling. And within your body, I've really never heard one single person say, yeah, it makes me feel happy and joyous inside whenever I'm calling my ex a narcissistic pig.
You know what's interesting about that, Cindy, and I'm going to share a different perspective here. So let's say you call your ex or your partner, or if you're in a toxic relationship to your current partner, X, Y, and Z. You are X, Y, and Z. The thing about that is, in order for you to understand what X, Y, and Z is, or to label somebody X, Y, and Z, whatever X, Y, and Z is, you have to have that understanding within you. Otherwise, you will not be able to comprehend what X, Y, and Z is. If you can label somebody or call somebody a name or a characteristic of how they're being, then you need to understand that you recognize that because somewhere within you it exists. Otherwise, if you didn't understand it or comprehend what this person is being or doing or having, you couldn't name it. You couldn't label it. So some of this has, and I'm not trying to take away from what the other person is doing or being, but some part of you recognizes it because some part of you is part of what that person is, and that's why you're able to recognize it.
Yes and no. I totally understand where you're coming from. And, yeah, there has to be a part of you that understands it, but sometimes, especially with the word narcissist, this is one of the biggest buzzwords out there right now. Everybody's a narcissist. But whenever we are labeling somebody or something and calling them names, is that part in us? Most definitely, because all of us, even you, Al, even me, we all have all parts of us. There's nobody that's, Al and I included, there's nobody that's never lied. There's nobody that's never cheated. There's nobody that's never, did things that are per se bad. We're all, one thing that I always say is, whenever we were kids, my mom used to say this to me all the time, you are not the center of the universe, Cindy. And I'm sure a lot of other people's moms said that too. You ever hear that, Al? You're not
yes,
the
I have.
Center of
yes,
the
I
universe.
Have.
And
yes.
Honest to God, we are all our own centers of our own universe. And so whenever you think of a narcissistic tendency, because this is such a big buzzword, what is a narcissist? It's they're thinking of themselves first, maybe more than they should be. But however, we really don't know that. But you are calling somebody a narcissistic pig or a nagging bitch or any other term, or my boss just has his, so far up his boss's, ass that it's whatever. Whatever the toxic relationship is, you're looking at this other person and you're labeling them, you're calling them names. And but whenever you're doing that, you are being, to an extent, narcissistic because you're thinking of what you want. And, that's what it is. You're thinking of what you want and you don't, and you believe other people should comply to what it is that you want because there again, we are all the centers of our own universe. And even the most caring, loving people, whenever we do something, we do it because it makes us feel good to make somebody else feel good. If it didn't make us feel good whenever we did it, we wouldn't do it. And like if you see, if somebody in front of you at the grocery store is short $5 and you give them $5 to pay for their groceries, you can say, I'm such a giving person and I'm so nice. But bottom line is you're doing it because there's something in you that feels good about doing it. So you're doing it for the other person, but you're really doing it because you want to feel good helping somebody else. And so, as far as a narcissist, if you look at the definition of a narcissist personality disorder, which is what everybody's ex has, and the true definition is that they have absolutely no compassion towards anything or anybody. And does this exist? Most definitely. But everybody, whenever they're going through a breakup or whenever they're in a toxic relationship, has narcissistic tendencies. And that's basically because we truly are the center of our own universe.
Another perspective that I like, and thank you for sharing, Cindy, another perspective I like to share is, if you're going to name something or a person or label them or call them whatever, you know, another angle is that you need to look at yourself. And I know, I realize that a lot of the times we start doing some of the name calling after the breakup of a relationship, whether it's with your boss or a friendship or a significant other. We start doing this name calling and start saying what this person is. But another angle is that you have to look at yourself. You know, why did you put up with it? Why did you live with it? Why did you deal with it? Why what took you so long, whether it was a day, a month, a year, or 10 years? Why did you deal with it and live with it? I mean, did you look the other way? Did you put your head in the sand? Were you blind? I mean, what aspect of you allowed that experience, whatever you're calling that person, to exist? And then why did you put up with it? Why did you stay in the relationship? Or why did you stay at that job? Or why did you stay with that friendship? If it was in front of you all that time, why did you stick around?
And, you know, yes and no. I mean, it's so much as hindsight's always 20/20, and I understand what you're saying because you do have to self-reflect, but there can be – self-reflection can be good and it can be bad because you don't want to get stuck in all these whys. But basically, you know, my philosophy is to be loving and kind and compassionate with yourself, that you made every decision and every choice you made in your life based on your perceptions and your experiences up until that point in time. And now whenever we look back, we can go, wow, I haven't grown that much. You know, I wasn't as spiritual as I am. I wasn't as knowledgeable as I am now. I don't know so much that people are blind as much as it is that they get so used to their world that they just, it's just so normal to you that you're not thinking there's something wrong. And I mean, this definitely goes back, even so many people are like, oh, you had such a terrible childhood. Whenever I was living my childhood, I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was normal. Did I like the times whenever my dad sexually abused me? No. Did I like the times whenever he got pissed off and beat the crap out of me or more often than me, my brother? No. But it was normal to me. And so this is so, you know, just what happens. So you experience your life and then you have things and everything, you're doing everything. Doing everything that you can you're just really, I think it's, and we all do this, you're just sort of surviving. You're actually surviving because you don't know that you have a choice or a say in the way that you live your life. So I don't want people getting really stuck up in the why part as much as, hey, where was I at that time? How much have I grown and where do I want to go? Because whenever you look back and say, why did I put up with it? Well, it's because I didn't know any better. Just, I mean, whenever I think of the crap that Earl did, why did I put up with it? You know, there was one time Earl came home in the middle of the day and the phone man was underneath our house. And we had a crawl space in our house. And Earl yelled and screamed at me, then left. And this phone man, this complete stranger, and this was during the good times of my marriage. And this phone guy came up and he said, who was just at your house? And I said, oh, that was my husband. And he looked at me, complete stranger. And he said, honey, nobody deserves to be talked to that way. And I thought to myself at that time, this guy's crazy. He doesn't know my life. So I was defending Earl because I was so used to his rants that it was normal to me. Would I put up with somebody yelling at me like that today? No way in hell. But I've grown so much. And this is why, instead of saying, you know, what was in me at that time, it was because that's where I was. But I've grown, or I want to grow. If that's where you are right now today, ask yourself, how do I want to grow to where I'm not putting up with this crap in my life? And also, so much of this is everything. Whenever we are calling somebody a name like this, actually what we're doing is we're taking away the focus on ourselves and who we are and what we want, and we're putting it on the other person. But most importantly, we are blaming the other person for our life fucking. And anytime that you blame somebody else, you are not taking responsibility for your own life. And the only way that is possible for you to live a happy, peaceful, successful life is to take responsibility for it. Bless you. Did you catch that, Al?
Yes, I did. Thank you. You know, yeah. And so going back to reflecting and the why part of it, when you understand why you put up with whatever, you know, whatever X, Y, and Z is, then you give yourself the ability or the opportunity to evolve. Because if you don't deal with whatever it is that you went through, you're going to recycle it in your next relationship or your next job or your next friendship because you haven't done anything. And I get it. I'm not saying to dwell in the whys, but you do need to have an understanding of what part of you allowed that experience to exist so that you can evolve and, as you used to put it, so you can grow. And otherwise, you're going to stay stuck and you're going to repeat the same thing over and over again until you eventually evolve and move on from having the same scenario, same experience, same labeling, same name calling, whatever it is that you're going through. And for those that don't evolve, if you reflect back in your lifetime, you'll see that you keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Different faces, different names, but same characteristics.
I think we're on the same page, and maybe it's just my little, maybe I'm being nitpicky, but I love you, Al. I think I've known too many people that's gotten stuck in the whys, and whenever you get stuck, if you're saying why, and is it really important to know why? Is it important to know why you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again? I mean, you know, we all know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing expecting different results. And so is it really important to know why you're doing it? Or is it important to be aware that you're doing it and saying, you know, hey, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to put up with this shit anymore. And how can I move forward? Because otherwise, sometimes what I've noticed, and myself included, I've been stuck in the whys. And my daughter, God, my daughter, she went through this thing. And for 6 months, she's like, I'm just reflecting on why this happened. I'm reflecting on what it was about me that allowed this to happen. And I kept asking her, well, how do you want to feel? Where do you want to be? And if you start focusing on where you want to be and who you want to be, you are going to change the habit. But if you're sitting there saying, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? You're focusing on where you were, and that's not where you want to go. I use the analogy so much. You know, I live in California. My sister lives in Oklahoma. So if I drive to Oklahoma and my sis and I decide that we're going to go to New York, do I need to go back to California to get to New York? And I think this is so many people get stuck in the whys that they're trying to go back to California before making their trip to New York, and it's not needed. You know, there is some sort of self-reflection that's needed, but if you're just asking yourself why, what was it about me back then? But it's just being aware of, I don't want this anymore in my life. I'm sick and tired of it. This is not acceptable to me no more. Then you're able to vote, and then you start saying, how can I make it better? What can I try that I've never tried before to move forward? It definitely, it puts you in a, to me personally, it puts you in a forward moving motion versus thinking, why did I do it? I mean, I could still be sitting here saying, why did I allow Earl to do the crap that he did? Why did I never talk back to him? Whenever we were driving somewhere and he looked it straight in the eye and told me, and this was about the sexual abuse from my father, he said, you must have really enjoyed it in order to allow it to happen so long. I could still be asking myself, why did I not fight him whenever he said that? Why did I just shut up and bottle up and sink into a depth of despair within myself you know, whenever he said that. So where was my fight? But I could stay there, and that's going to be worse if I was stuck in that position versus saying, hey, I'm not going to allow anybody to talk to me like that anymore. Earl used to call me stupid a lot, and Mike knows that's just not a word that he's going to use around me, because the first time he said it, and he was actually singing the song from Shania Twain, Don't Be Stupid, and I lost it with him because I had made a decision that nobody was ever going to talk to me like that again. So I didn't need to go back and say, why did I allow people to talk to me like that? I needed to make that decision saying, I will no longer allow somebody to talk to me like that so I could move forward.
So from my perspective, and I basically agree with you, but from my perspective is I have to self-reflection, or what part of me allowed that? I'm going to use the example I gave at the beginning of the show as far as being put down. I had to do some self-reflection and ask myself, what part of me made that okay? What part of me said it was okay to be put down? And once I understood that supported me to evolve, because as you said, I will never put up with that again. And I made damn sure that I would never put up with that again. But I had to do some self-reflection on that. And again, I'm not saying that you dwell there.
Do you mind sharing with us?
You have to move forward. Go ahead.
Do you mind sharing with us what you discovered whenever you did the self-reflection?
I had low self-esteem, low self-worth. And that's why I allowed certain experiences to exist. So I had to up my game. I had to up-level my self-esteem and self-worth in order for that to never happen again. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, I'll never allow that. I'm going to use your example of being called stupid again and go forward. But from my perspective, when I was being put down, I realized, you know what, I had low self-esteem. That's why I allowed those experiences to exist. And so I knew I had to up my game and my self-esteem. I didn't dwell in the why aspect or what part of me, but I said, okay, I acknowledge it, I understand it. This is who I was back then. In order for that to never exist again, I had to evolve.
Yes. And I agree with you there. It's definitely, even whenever I look back, definitely I had no self-esteem. Anytime we're putting up with anything, any human being in the world, whenever we're putting up with something that demeans us, we are doing it because we don't have the self-esteem or the confidence to stand up for ourselves, period. I really don't think there's another explanation for that. But I do understand you needed to be aware. You were looking for awareness, because you do have to be aware of something before you can change it. So you weren't really sitting there, I don't think, saying, you know, why, like you said, being in the depths of despair. Whereas you were going, you know, like you said, it's okay. I allowed this to happen because I have low self-esteem. So what can I do to build my self-esteem to where I can get to the point where I'm never going to allow this to happen again? Which is exactly what I did. I just used different words. So it's good that, you know, your terminology is different than mine. Hopefully this way, regardless what your terminology is, if you feel like, hey, I have to go back and ask myself why I allowed this, that's perfectly fine, as long as you don't get stuck in the depths of the whys. And, or, you know, with me as me, I just, you know, I sort of jumped a lot of it. It's like, yeah, I did have to build my confidence to stand up to people. And so it's, you know, do I feel unworthy? Do I feel like somebody else is smarter than me? Do I feel that it's too disrespectful to stand up to my boss? You know, I know in my life there are times that, there was a time that I had the boss from hell. There's a couple of times I had the boss from hell. But I remember with one boss from hell, there's no way that I had the confidence to say anything to her. And with my second boss from hell, I actually called her out on it in front of my coworkers. She was yelling at me in front of my coworkers, so I called her out because my confidence had grown. but there's no way I would have had the confidence to do that. So, you know, I think that's the huge word, like you said, the low self-esteem, because if we feel that we're invaluable, which is all low self-esteem is, we don't feel like we're as good as somebody else. We feel there's something a part of us that feels like we deserve to be treated like crap. And believe me, there's nobody that deserves to be treated like crap. You know, we are all in the same boat. We're all connected. Like I said earlier, we've all lied. We've all cheated. We've all, you know, we've all felt like crap. We've all did things we regret. But we all also love and know how to be compassionate and empathetic with other people. And I think the one thing that connects all of us is we all want to be loved and accepted for exactly who we are, which is interesting because most of us, other than loving and accepting ourselves who we are, we try to change ourselves to make other people love and accept us. And the more we try to change ourselves, the lower our self-esteem goes because we're not being true to who we are.
Great stuff, Cindy. And this is a great topic. I'm glad we're discussing it. Would you like to? Would you care to share our give an update on our challenge?
And I do apologize to everybody that the challenge has not started yet. I have been having some major problems with my server, and it's being fixed. But we do plan on starting the challenge the first week of April, and you will. We'll be putting up a new notice in the Facebook page and to let you know how to do that. And if you've already signed up for it, I will be sending you an email about what to, you know, about when it is. And so, again, I do apologize for the delay, but we wasn't able to put the content on the website until yesterday. I was notified that I could put the content on my website. So that is, so the challenge will be starting. And also, we are planning a couple-day retreat in September in Baja, Mexico. It's going to be right on the beach. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a time of self-reflection, of self-growth, and of being with like-minded people so you can grow mentally, physically, and spiritually with us. And with that, I want to say big hugs. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Next week, we're not going to be having our show, so you can check out the old shows. And with that, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Awesome. And can you give us the URL for our Facebook page?
The Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/ Your Toxic Relationship Dance. And if you're
awesome.
Typing it in, you may have capitalized each word in the Your Toxic Relationship Dance, but there is no spaces between them.
Awesome. Cindy Holbrook, the Women's Empowerment Coach. Visit her website, livefullylovefully.com, for inspiration and practical suggestions to live life to the fullest. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose. It allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, you heard us, you listened to us, tell the world and share the link. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Cindy, you rock. Have a phenomenal weekend.
And you rock, and I love you, Al. Bye. And I love all of our guests, too. Bye.
Bye-bye.